In fact, though, the actual statistics of the World War I years and the 1920s document their gains, not a retreat. Between 1916 and 1926, according to Stark and Fink, the Presbyterians, USA, Congregationalists, and Methodists retired or closed down a significant percentage of their denomination's individual churches. Yet during that same period, unfashionable sects were recording huge expansions of churches. 656% rise for the Holiness Churches of Christ, 577% for the Church of the Nazarene, 553% for the Assemblies of God, and 442% for the Tennessee-based Church of God. Knoll, too, concluded that during the first half of the 20th century, the fragmentation of Protestantism meant that the nation's historically most potent religious force became a declining influence in the nation as a whole. He argued that the 1930s marked the beginning of the relative decline of the older mainline Protestant churches. Meanwhile, despite any lingering negative imagery, for fundamentalist, holiness, Pentecostal, African American, and the new evangelical churches and organizations, it was a time of expansion. The Southern Baptist Convention, the Holiness Church of the Nazarene, the Pentecostal Assemblies of God, and the main black Baptist denominations all grew rapidly during this period. Acceptance of this thesis has been solidifying. Sects up, mainline down. Carpenter also agrees that the religious crisis during this period was only among the older or more prestigious denominations, some of which lost membership, baptisms, and revenues. At the same time, fundamentalists' missions and ministries grew. Southern Baptists gained almost 1.5 million members between 1926 and 1940, and the Pentecostal denomination, the Assemblies of God, quadrupled. During the 1930s, moreover, the middle-class Northern Baptist Convention and the Presbyterians USA were split by a fundamentalist exodus that launched new conservative denominations. The General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, 1932, the Presbyterian Church of America, 1936, and the Bible Presbyterian Church, 1937. These multiple citations buttress a different interpretation than the received wisdom. That evangelical, fundamentalist, and Pentecostal religion, far from evaporating or stagnating in a backwater during the early 20th century, seemed to have been a gathering force, like an incoming tide. No wonder the much-reported revival captained by the youthful Billy Graham in 1949 to 1950 could surprise with such unexpected attendance and bring in its wake a further conservative momentum throughout the 60s and 70s. An important piece of missing U.S. religious history seems to be slowly, albeit belatedly, reappearing. By this point, the reader may feel baptized by statistical and denominational total immersion. However, there is no other way to lay out the foundations, crossbeams, and buttresses of the unusual American religious structure that led to the rise of the religious right and to the related transformation of national politics, the consequences of which we face today. By the 1950s, even the mainstream media perceived the implications of Billy Graham's fulsome public reception. A graduate of Wheaton College in Illinois, the Harvard of American evangelicalism, Graham had roots in born-again, biblically inerrant, premillennial Protestant fundamentalism. His achievement, first in Southern California and then in bringing 50,000 listeners to Boston Common in January 1950, where the great evangelist Whitefield had drawn 20,000 or so in 1740, gave his contemporaries pause about the real meaning of the supposed rout during the cynical 1920s. Graham himself was wise enough to duck any fundamentalist tag, embracing ecumenicalism and preferring the unelaborated label evangelist. In retrospect, the apparent seamlessness of holiness, fundamentalist, and Pentecostal expansion from the 1880s and 1890s through Graham's Christian crusade should focus our questions about the rise of today's influential sects. The mismeasurement after the 20s is not the only one. We should be more broadly skeptical about the labeling of the several so-called Great Awakenings, which start to look less like sudden eruptions than high points in ongoing momentum. Based on the data now available, the 20th century saw sectarian gains and surges to match those of the 18th and 19th. Indeed, Stark and Fink match up the reasonably continuous revivalist tendencies of the public with a more or less steady rise in the percentage of Americans who stated some religious adherence, from 17% in 1776 to 34% in 1850 to 45% in 1890, 56% in 1926, 62% in 1980, and 63% in 2000. Neither historical calculus has been seriously rebutted, although their calculation of religious adherence does not represent one uniform statistical series, and the new figure for 2000 is controversial.